Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Beauty, from High Curiosities, and we have a great guest tonight. His name is Stephen Myers, and he wrote the book Lost Technologies. Linda, what are you doing? Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. His website is www.thepump.org. And, Steve, welcome to the show. Sorry about that intro there.
Oh, you're just fine. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a great opportunity.
Well, I wanted to tell you that I have not read anything at all about you. I don't know too much other than you wrote the book, and it sounds interesting. I read a little bit, basically that there's different things that these pyramids were set up to do. So go ahead and tell us what you've discovered.
Well, I'm the founder of a nonprofit foundation out here in Oregon, and it's called the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation. And we're dedicated to understand how the Great Pyramid was built and why it was built.
Uh-huh.
And we've conducted quite a bit of research and experimentation here at our facility. And ultimately, from that research and experimentation, I have authored a book called Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. And based on our research, we feel that the Great Pyramid was built not with a big ramp, that has never really been demonstrated, but using water locks like the Erie Canal or the Panama Canal. And
uh-huh.
These water locks were used to build the Great Pyramid level by level all the way to the apex.
Where's the water now?
It's all gone.
What did they do with it?
Well, it's interesting that Herodotus, a 5th century B.C. historian, described the Great Pyramid as being surrounded by water. It was like an island in a lake. It was his description. He also described that the Great Pyramid had an artificial duct or a conduit connected to it. So certainly from 40 centuries ago when the Great Pyramid was built till now, a lot of things have changed. There's not much water there now, certainly on the Giza Plateau, but
uh-huh.
Herodotus spoke a lot about water.
Hmm. Well, what were they building it for, though?
Okay. The Great Pyramid, instead of being a static device for a some sort of burial cult, to be instead of being a great big giant tomb or
uh-huh.
a marker for a grave, they built it as infrastructure to serve their own needs. They built it as an investment to improve their own lives. And that infrastructure served to be a water pump.
So the pyramid was just to pump water? To
Yes. Yes, that's what we contend. When you say just, that's... the largest structure in North America was built. The most expensive structure when built was the dam there over there at Grand Coulee, the Grand Coulee Dam. And it is built to pump water. It irrigates quite a bit of central Washington.
Well, what about the chambers inside of the pyramid and the mummies and all that they find in there?
Oh, all those mummies? They never found a mummy in a pyramid.
Well, what about the Sphinx? Was that part of the water pump too, or
no? The Sphinx is just a sculpture. It's a very large sculpture built on the Giza Plateau. Wonderful structure, certainly. I saw it when we did on-site research there at the Great Pyramid a few years ago for to complete the book. But the Great Pyramid was, we feel, a water pump, which is very...
Well, what makes think, though, that it was a water pump? Like, are there... was there evidence of it out there? Did you find things in there? Or what makes you believe that?
Certainly. There's the eyewitness testimony of Herodotus. The casing stones are built watertight. they're very precise. The stones that were on the outside of the Great Pyramid.
That is true. They are precise.
Yeah, and they're also cemented together and are watertight. In fact, the stones that are still left there, the casing stones, are still watertight. So we feel that wasn't to keep all that pesky Egyptian rain out,
uh-huh.
but it was to keep water in during construction. Our website has a number of pictures that are from the book that show how the water locks stair-stepped up the side of the Great Pyramid, and it
mm-hmm.
was built level by level until it was done. And then the passages and chambers that you asked about,
uh-huh.
those don't appear to be a tomb. You know, there was one body for the pharaoh, but a number of passages and chambers. So most Egyptologists say there was a number of change in plans.
Uh-huh.
Which is just what they say. But we think that the builders of the Great Pyramid were geniuses and knew what they were doing. And they used some very sophisticated techniques to pump water. There are some stones that slide in slots that are not to keep tomb robbers out, but are used as valves. And there were a number of them described that are gone now that were described as doors on pivots.
Uh-huh.
But a pivoting door is a poor way to keep a tomb robber out.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be?
Now, what is your goal with this knowledge or the information that you found out? Like, what do you plan on doing with it, if anything?
That's an excellent question. What we want to do is we've created this nonprofit foundation to redevelop this ancient but very high technology associated with the Great Pyramid. We feel that it is a very efficient method to pump water.
Uh-huh.
And we think that it will be, when fully developed, an alternative to using oil. Or an alternative of using hydroelectric dams, which have some severe environmental impacts. And we think that this...
Bill, like a model of this now already? Do you have a working model?
What we have is a facility here that we are trying to make a working model. We have
uh-huh.
done some experimentation with various scaled components and sub-assemblies. But of all the things that we're doing, that's the most cost-intensive goal that we have. And it has been a struggle to fund building a fairly robust working model, to be honest with you. You know, but that's what we're dedicated to do, and we're making progress every day.
So, but as big as these pyramids are you going to downsize them to, like, put them all over if somebody decided to, say, buy this, if different cities or countries and things like that? Are they going to be down? Are they going to be made smaller, or will they be that big and they just go... And they'll be big enough that they could do, like, whole cities.
That's an excellent question. Our research indicates that this technology, this water pumping technology, is scalable. And we won't need to build stone pyramids, but we will use, we're blessed with modern materials to build these passages, chambers, and valves, and ultimately be able to pump water very efficiently and cost-effectively. So it'll be used, we feel, like in cottage industries in third-world countries to pump water for marginal farmlands. It will be used in industrial applications that use a lot of water, even in the United States, farming, but also
uh-huh.
used, if you can pump water up, then you can use that to generate electricity. So that is an ultimate goal for here in our advanced civilization.
Now, are you going to have to go back to Egypt and look at the pyramids again in order to learn a little bit more about how to do that? And if so, what does the Egyptian government think about that? Because I know they're pretty hard to get through to.
Actually, according to the Egyptian, according to the people that control the Great Pyramid, the Great Pyramid is a machine. It is a machine to generate money. And if you can, if you go over there and have enough money, you can do whatever you want. That's my understanding. You know, if you want to, if you have enough money to satisfy them, you can do any kind of research you want. That's my understanding. Actually, any chance I get to get back there would be certainly wonderful. But we're you know, the Great Pyramid is the most measured structure on Earth. By people that, you know, measure it. But anyway, we're just mainly right now with the book just coming out last month. We've been pretty active with book promotion and that type of thing. But like I say, we're doing, we're also going to do a documentary, probably do that in-house, kind of a lower budget YouTube quality documentary about how the Great Pyramid was built. It's very visual procedure as opposed to a big giant ramp.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to pitch that documentary for a network. So we're doing that, and there's a lot going on. We also have a scholarship, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
On we're very interested in how the stones were moved, and the Egyptologists have not demonstrated making a casing stone in the 200 years that Egyptology has existed. No casing stones have ever been made. So we want to fund the demonstration of creating casing stones and how they were moved, according to Egyptologists. All libraries on Earth have the same story, that it was, that the extreme precision was created by hand, but it's never been demonstrated. So we have a $50,000 scholarship on how on showing how five casing stones were made and moved. Egyptologists say a stone was set in place every 2 minutes. So that's 10 minutes work for $50,000. And the information on that scholarship is on our website at thepump.org.
Incredible.
Yeah, it is. So what we're saying is that Egyptologists have a story to tell about early man, that early man was fairly primitive and built this great big, very precise structure. But our foundation has a different story to tell, which is that the builders of the Great Pyramid were geniuses, and they understood aspects of physics that we in modern times don't fully understand. And they used that understanding of physics to develop a very efficient water pump that was had a number of uses. I imagine the Giza Plateau more as an industrial park than a graveyard when the Great Pyramid was new. But anyway,
yeah, I never thought it was a graveyard myself.
I
thought that was just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, by the time they had the thing built, you know, mummified or not, the buzzards would have carried you off. You know, something would have happened.
Certainly.
I never believed it was a burial. But now let me ask you. So you're saying that this pyramid used to sit in the middle of a lake, and through earth changes, the water has disappeared, or it sat in the middle of the lake and the water was there because the pyramid pumped the water out of the ground somewhere?
No. There's another option.
Okay.
Okay. The Great Pyramid used to be surrounded by a wall that went all the way around it.
Okay.
That existed up until about the 1830s. And early explorers described the wall and whatever. It was about 30 feet tall, pretty tall. Anyway, it's all gone now. But we felt that that wall impounded water all the way around the Great Pyramid. And that the source of that water was based on research that's described in the book, was the ancient Lake Maurice, which is on the same side of the Nile as the Great Pyramid. And Herodotus, again, discusses artificial ducts and conduits from that lake to the lake around the Great Pyramid. And that was the source water, is what we feel. And then ultimately that water would be pumped by the Great Pyramid and then utilized for a whole host of applications.
Okay. Now, if we can pump water, can we pump oil or no? Because it's a different type of thing, because the pump will be pumping from a nearby water source.
Certainly there would be a water source.
I'd ask that.
Right. The main impetus for us at the foundation is to redevelop this ancient water pumping technology, redevelop it using modern materials, and use it to help our very modern but quite troubled world.
Oh, yeah, the world is troubled. That is for sure.
Yes.
The world is... Do you like Obama?
Do I like him?
Ask you that. No, I'm not going to make you answer that because you're trying to sell a book. Don't worry about it.
No.
That was me.
I don't know. I think...
I don't like
him. Well...
But that's okay, really. Don't answer because you know how people get. Yeah, you know how people
get. No, that's sure. Okay. I know where you're coming from.
Okay.
I think that... let me put it this way, since you asked me. You know what they say about change? The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Exactly.
How does that grab you? And that's my political thing.
Well, something definitely needs to be done. So anyway, I want to make sure that I'm understanding this because now, do you feel there's anything paranormal or supernatural at all about the pyramids? Because I'm sure you've probably heard the story about Napoleon going in there and... face going white, and he just ran out all, frightened. And why do you think that happened, if you believe it happened?
Well, I don't know. It's a wonderful story. I've read about it several times. I know that I laid in the, what they call the coffer in the king's chamber. And I laid in there and had a picture taken of me, and it's a wonderful thing. What we're doing is starting fresh to understand the Great Pyramid. And a very fundamental way to understand it is to understand how the stones were moved and set in place. I mean, we're trying to start right at the very simplest instead of the very esoteric. And we feel that the explanation Egyptologists have come up with simply cannot be done. They have never... moved the largest stones, never moved one of those stones, a payload that size, 1 inch, ever. It's never been demonstrated. But using water locks, like on the Erie Canal over there in the East Coast, it was 4.5 feet deep. The boats hold a 70-ton payload.
Yeah, they're never that deep. I've been to the ones up near... By Lambertville, New Jersey, close to Trenton. They have all the canals out there, and that's about all they are, about 4 feet deep and maybe 6 or 7 feet across, if that.
Right.
I don't even think they're probably around 6 or 7 feet across, and if you go in there, you can find all these old bottles,
Right.
Some years old.
But you can also, with a water lock and canals, move easily a 70-ton payload. Now, that's in the real world, not Egyptology.
Yeah.
So,
I know. I looked at what to do just in New Jersey in those canals, and I'm like, wow, 4 feet of water and that much stuff. I mean, they had horses on top of these, wooden things.
On towpaths.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they would have horses on the ground pulling the stuff along the canal.
Two horses could move 70 tons. All the Egyptologists in the world can't do it.
Yeah.
And there's a reason. It's because their explanation is incorrect. they can't demonstrate it. It can't withstand the rigors of the scientific method. All they're doing is telling a story.
But what do you think happened to all the canals now? Like, any remains of them? Any remains of
them? Yes. The area between the Nile River and the Great Pyramid is a gradual slope. So that doesn't preclude that at one time there were water locks between the Nile and the Great Pyramid. Also, when the Great Pyramid was completed, the need for moving stones to the Great Pyramid no longer existed. So those water locks were probably removed by the original builders.
Now let me ask you this. What about all the other people? Are they doing the same thing with those too?
Okay, that's interesting that you ask. There's a number of pyramids on the bank of the Nile, you know, and they all have varying degrees of precision. They're built with different materials. Some are limestone. Some are mud brick. They are, their sides are at different angles and all of that. I don't believe that they were all water pumps. In fact, I don't believe that any of them, except the Great Pyramid, was a water pump.
What do you think they did?
Okay, that's a good question. In the during World War II, our soldiers went to remote islands in the South Pacific, and they set up airports and all of that. Well,
uh-huh.
The indigenous people started to worship these people, and when they left, they made airplanes out of palm branches, and they made radios out of crates and stuff to try to appease the gods. And those cults are called cargo cults. And I believe that the Great Pyramid pre-existed all the other pyramids. And some king said, well, I'm king, and I'm going to claim that pyramid. And then maybe later another king said, well, I want one of them too. And the primitive ones were made later than the very precise Great Pyramid. They were just copies and adapted to the social needs of these later people. That's what I think.
Okay.
And the reason why I think that is because people that know about ancient Egypt are Egyptologists, yet they can't show us that the ancient Egyptians had the technology to build the Great Pyramid. So it must have been possibly an earlier culture. Pre-catastrophe is a possibility, but also pre-flood, if you want to go that way. So there's a lot to it, and it's and the book gets into a lot of that and describes, besides that type of stuff, the assembly process. So it's very interesting, and it gives glory to the ancients, instead of saying that they were just knuckle draggers making a big tombstone. But it also, our this concept of a high technology is a vision for our future, for a cleaner world, a safer world, for people to be able to create their own energy that they use themselves. And, it's just a new idea and a new technology and a new vision.
It's fascinating. It really is. It is fascinating. Now, you want to build these all over, right?
Yes, we're going to develop the technology for this this ancient technology, and the book talks about that. But we'll make it available, and like on the net, and then people can adapt it and use the materials that they have at hand, like drums and different PVC valves, that type of thing, and then use it to suit their own needs, either for irrigation or for
like their own household use, right?
What now?
Now, they could have their own pyramid in their backyard and use it for their own household use, right?
In effect, but actually they don't need the pyramid shape. They just need the enclosures, if you will.
Uh-huh.
The pyramid shape is just mainly used for construction. It's almost like four hydroelectric dams backed up to one another when it was built. So the shape itself doesn't help the pumping process, but it helped assemble the Great Pyramid. But again, that's all in the book.
Now, let me ask this. What about pyramids in other places in the world? Were they used for the same thing, too?
I would say that they were not used for the same thing. Most that I've researched, the Pyramid of the Sun and Pyramid of the Moon down in Mexico are made much differently. A lot of it is just rock fill, if you will. They're called pyramids, but they're pretty much mounds of rock, you know, just loose rubble, if you will. But the Great Pyramid is built with such extreme precision, with many of the chambers cemented together, the components, to make them water and airtight. You know, the precision wasn't to keep the pharaoh's soul from leaking out, but the precision was for the function of its purpose to pump water. So, but there's pyramids all around the world, varying, like I say, materials, varying purposes, none to even close to the precision that the Great Pyramid has. Just as a car engine has a lot of very precise parts, the Great Pyramid, as a water pumping device, has a lot of precise parts. You can do a lot with pumped water. We are powering here at the foundation our laptop with water power. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is. Now you've heard that they have a. That they used to have a gold capstone, the Great Pyramid. Why do you think had a gold capstone?
Well, I've heard that, but I've also heard that there was never a capstone because the Great Pyramid was symbolically unfinished, you know, until Jesus returns. So, you know, you
wait a minute. When Jesus thinks there's going to be a capstone.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Wow,
you know,
where,
I've heard that.
More about that. Tell me more about.
All researchers have the exact same physical evidence, and different researchers have different interpretations of that evidence. There's a group of researchers called pyramidologists who say that the Great Pyramid is a Bible in stone, that it confirms Bible prophecy in our latter days. And
yeah, well,
that,
look at Bill, but the government's not too good. You know, I mean, it's true. They put it on the dollar bill. Why would they have the pyramid on the dollar bill? And that big old eyeball.
There's a lot of symbols. People have different interpretations of the Great Pyramid, but they put it there because it's a symbol of strength or whatever. Other people say because it's a Masonic symbol.
Uh-huh.
But our foundation isn't focusing on symbolism, but it's focusing on real ways to assemble that structure. And then, again, that would be water locks.
There's a lot to what you're saying, too, because I can remember Bush's speech where he said 1,000 years of light or 1,000
points of light.
1,000
yes.
points of light.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about that with the pyramid as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've never heard about prophecy being on the pyramid. I'd like you to tell me about that now.
Okay. There is a, like I say, some researchers that, and it's on the web. You can look it up. Just Great Pyramid Prophecy would be fine. You can word search that. But they say that they measure the passages, the length of the passages and the chambers, and they measure them using the pyramid inch, which is actually just a little tiny bit more than a regular inch, and every inch is a year.
Okay.
So they start at, there's an actual scribe line inside the descending passage. They start there, and then they go down to the subterranean chamber 100 feet below the Great Pyramid. But so the scribe line, if I'm correct, is the date of creation. So every inch is a year. So you go all the way down there, and it's X number of years.
That's fascinating.
It
because
is fascinating.
You know what? I had a guy on my show who wrote a book. He wrote this book. His name was Patrick Heron, and he wrote the book called "The Pyramids and the Nephilim."
Mm-hmm.
And he said this is when the angels had fallen and they had taken human form, and they were these great big giants, and they showed the people how to make the pyramids and and everything like that. So it's as you said in the very beginning that the people were kind of maybe not that you said they weren't civilized, but you know they didn't really have too much information, but yet they did build this big pyramid, and you say you can measure the time. And then he was saying the giants were on the earth, so maybe, I mean, I don't know. But it is interesting. It seems like a lot of different things that people are saying can kind of fit together, you know, a little bit.
Certainly. And that's why our foundation, even if it was built by the Nephilim, which is Genesis 6, I don't know if you're into the Bible or not, with the giants,
I believe in Jesus
all
the way. Okay. I don't go to church because I don't like those people.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's not that. It's just you go to church and you come out and they act all evil. Like, you know, I don't know where they go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know
and
what
then
you
they
mean.
Don't tell you what they should be telling you. They're still talking about Noah's Ark. I mean, we're a little past that now. You know, the animals are here. We have survived. We need to respond to up and coming things. You know, not that we want to ourselves to death, but I don't think the church, you know, tells people what they want to tell them because they're afraid they're going to lose like customers or something. That's right, Pan. Go Jesus. Yeah.
Well, anyway,
so I definitely believe in God and all that, and I had somebody the other day say, well, you know, that's like old school. That's a long time ago. That's, well, you know, I'm sure Satan would love you to believe that. That's how I look at it.
Well,
so we're regardless of who put them there, but see, you know what, though? Let's just say these Nephilim did tell them how to build this water pump, okay?
Certainly.
Now, you know the Nephilim were the fallen angels. These were demonic beings. So if they taught the people how to build these pyramids or the Great Pyramid, and the Great Pyramid is a water pump, like you say, couldn't there be something evil about it then? Should we want to use that technology?
I think that we're in a world that we've you've said a lot of stuff that I need to reply with. The when the Great Pyramid was built is under debate. It could have been, like you say, way back with the Nephilim, or Egyptologists say it was about 4,000 years ago or whatever. But whenever it was built, and we want to understand how it was built. I don't think that the technology is evil. As such, I think.
Well, I don't think any technology is evil,
but if
it could be proven as a fact that the Nephilim did have a hand in the building of the Great Pyramid, then knowing what a Nephilim is, we would have to wonder why they guided the people building something like that. Because, and then you could even look back at to what. The whole story with Napoleon. Why was he so scared? You know, why wouldn't he open his mouth? You know, who knows what
he... But what's he going to say if he comes out and he could say, well, I slept like a lamb, there's no big deal to it.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? He might have just slapped a story on us. But I can't tell you what is evil. What's evil is when we go down and buy gasoline and that the money we spend to buy gasoline funds the terrorists.
Absolutely, I agree.
That's just evil.
Yeah.
That's
no,
evil.
No, I agree. And
we are accessories to the you know, they got to buy bombs somehow. So
yeah, you're
gasoline,
you know, you're right, because it's kind of like what you're saying. I mean, if this pyramid can be built to pump water, we certainly have our own oil here. We don't need to buy from those terrorists. We don't need to do that. But yet we just
doing
it.
Our foundation is trying to develop this ancient technology that is highly advanced to help us get off of our addiction with oil.
Yeah.
So, we had a president who, in a State of the Union address, said that we are addicted to oil, but that addiction is making him money.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So, we need an alternative in this world. You know, using oil is, from the 19th century, and here we are in the 21st century.
Well,
and
for the longest time, the government and various people, have known that there are many different ways of doing things. But
that is correct.
Okay? But it's, as you say, it's padding their pockets. So if you can come up with a way that this pyramid could work, they'll probably shut you down in a heartbeat. So the best thing for you to do is to come up with, as you say, a smaller version that people could put in their backyards or whatever, where,
mm-hmm.
They didn't have to be dependent upon, anything. Because, we've had technology forever that would not have to use the terrorist oil, but we just still keep
right.
doing it.
Right, and so that's what we're trying to do, is develop that technology so that we can get off of oil and have a freer, have a cheaper source of energy with generating electricity, and be able to irrigate without having as many hydroelectric dams to make the electricity.
Uh-huh.
So we're trying to improve the world, and we'll have the technology open source, so it's available to everyone else. The technology has been in public domain ever since the Great Pyramid has been opened up, 1,000 years ago. So we just want to develop it. That's our goal. That is my life quest, to develop that technology and to understand it to help the world.
Yeah. How far away do you think you are from completing something like this?
Well, it's difficult to say. I know that they wanted to develop nuclear energy and then turn it into a technology, which was an atomic bomb. And they did that through the Manhattan Project, which was a massive research project, massively funded. And we are just a small foundation, and funding's been an issue. For some people, it's a hard sell, if you will, to say that the Great Pyramid was technology that can help people instead of just a tomb. So we're struggling on funding. But that is a factor with when we can, to the progress of our developing this technology. But I don't know exactly when we'll be done.
Now tell us a little bit more about your scholarship.
Okay. We have that on our website. Whoever, if they can make 5 casing stones and move them about 100 yards, the length of a football field, and then move them on and off of a barge, because that's what Egyptologists said was done, and then assemble them, three in a row and 2 on top, then they get $50,000. They have to do it within 90 days, 3 months. That's what they say. Most of the work was done every year on the Great Pyramid during the flood season, when they can't work in the fields, the Egyptologist said. And then, of course, the casing stones have to be the same precision and the same size as the originals. In other words, you have to do what peasants and working people did.
Yeah.
And then you get the $50,000. But Egyptologists, they've never moved a stone around a corner of a spiral ramp.
Mm-mm.
They've never done that. They've never made it.
I'd go for it, but they're not going for it because they can't do it.
That's correct. I believe that they can't do it. It's never been done. But if they can do it, just like all the books in every library on the earth says that it was done, if it could actually be done instead of being just a fairy tale, then they'll get the $50,000. What we're also doing is we're contacting people that fund Egyptologists and museums and telling them about the scholarship and telling them that they can reduce their funding, each of them, by $50,000.
And has anyone taken you up on it yet?
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised what a few guys in a little nonprofit foundation and the Internet can do. Yeah.
So who's right now?
Who's what now?
Who's trying to do it right now?
We are. We're telling people that fund.
No. I mean, has anybody taken you up on your $50,000 offer?
The conditions of the scholarship have not been met as of today. No. It's the money's still available. And we have the details on our website, of course, at thepump.org. So people can look that up.
Yeah, I just posted it on the chat here for you, too. It's up there for everyone to see. But I wanted to ask you, there was this little guy out in Florida, and he was able to move these huge stones that weighed tons just by his fingertip. He lived out in, I believe it was Claremont, Florida. He's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think.
The Coral Castle.
That's it.
Yeah, he did some very remarkable things. He did some things that were what I would call modern wonders. That is another thing that cannot be demonstrated, really, what he did exactly. I'm sure that he had some very interesting knowledge that I wish we had today. He did some remarkable things.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because I believe that was done through magnets.
A lot of people say that.
Certain places, you know, like in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say of the pyramids possibly being built in the way that he did Coral Castle?
Well, there's a number of differences. First of all, it's wonderful to say magnets, except it really hasn't been demonstrated that's how he did it. A lot of people think that he did it somehow with magnets, but again, it's a wonder, it's a mystery that hasn't been recreated to demonstrate how he did it. The ancient geniuses who built the Great Pyramid did a number of things that were quite different. They moved their payloads quite a bit farther. Like 500 miles from some quarries. They also moved them across a river. So,
That would be a little difficult.
Yeah, that would be a little difficult with magnets and that type of thing. So we think that, again, that they used water locks, which are actually a 21st century technology. Many of the dams being built today, like the very large dam in China, the Three Gorges Dam, it is using water locks to move ships, you know, past the dam. So it's a technology of choice in the 21st
now
century.
Now, let me ask this, because I have somebody on chat asking this question. They say, what do you think of the movement of the stones by sound or vibration?
That's excellent. The only thing is, it has not been demonstrated.
Well,
yet.
What is thing where they talk about in the military, where they say, you know, like whenever they would go over a bridge or something that could collapse, that they didn't have the army or the military, you know, whatever organization they were in, walk together. That's when they would like fall out of formation because them walking together would create.
Also, Tesla invented a thing that would a machine. That would vibrate and ultimately make its own little earthquake, if you will. And it picks up on the...
Before you go on, I want to tell that to my friends because we have been arguing about this forever. I say we have the abilities that we have the ability to create an earthquake. Russia
certainly.
And that Russia thinks we, you know, crushed Haiti. So they do. That's what they think. The guy came out and said it. He's like, hey, you know, I just think that, you know,
yeah,
the
U.S. Certainly, Tesla did in the 1930s. Tesla made a building vibrate so that everyone thought that there was an earthquake.
And not only that, but when he died at his little hotel, the government came in and cleared out almost all of his files.
Yeah.
Took them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
open
they didn't.
Safe. Mm-hmm.
They wanted that technology.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted
That's
it.
True.
So now go ahead and tell me what you were saying about this, about being able to cause these vibrations and earthquakes and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, he had a device that would vibrate, and he clamped it to the one of the girders of the building. And it would similar to a swing, you know, you push a little kid in a swing a little bit, and then each time you push, the person goes farther. And it's to, you push them synchronized with the harmonic of their moving, and electrical circuits used, tuned circuits that do a similar thing electrically. But yeah, that's been demonstrated.
Would we cause, say, like the earthquake in Haiti? Would we put like little things in the ground or plant them in the ground and then just push a button? Is that how we would do it? Or is it, I mean, how would that be done exactly?
That is beyond the scope of my research. But you asked me about moving the stones with vibration or with humming
or
sound. And that's a wonderful thing to say, but again, it hasn't been demonstrated. Especially hasn't been demonstrated how a very ancient man would have a technology to do that. I know a lot of truck drivers would be very interested in moving very heavy payloads by sound because they would spend less money on diesel fuel.
Yeah.
But it's never been demonstrated yet. Again, with water locks, heavy payloads have been moved millions of times, and it's been demonstrated in the real world. So it's quite interesting.
Yes, it is. It is very interesting because one time it was really weird. I was sitting in this restaurant, and all of a sudden, and I don't know if you believe in this or not, and if you don't, that's okay. Most people don't anyway, so I don't take any offense. But I was sitting in this restaurant, it's this Greek diner, where all these Greeks are. They're all Muslim, but they were nice Muslims. They're not out to kill us or anything. I know you're thinking, oh, my God, I came on this woman's radio show.
No, this is fine. You're wonderful.
But I'm sitting there and I'm eating my turkey dinner, and all of a sudden, everything went blank, and I saw this bridge collapse, but I didn't know where it was collapsing at. I just knew that it was in the United States, and the weird thing is I'm afraid of heights, and I found myself in the back of this guy's car looking at his head, trying to yell at him to hit the brakes. Because I had already seen the bridge collapse, and I knew it was happening, and then I saw the bridge actually collapse, but he couldn't see it from the point of the road, you know, he was at. He was just going to go right over and die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to get his attention, and of course I can't, because this is like some psychic vision here, and he can't hear or see me. So I kind of fly out of the side of the car like I'm some kind of ghost or spirit, because I'm afraid of heights. I know he's going over, and I go to the side. And something drew my eyes underneath this bridge. And I saw these little yellow, like, tag things underneath the bridge. And they had, like, numbers and letters on them. And I can't remember what they were. But as I looked at them, I just knew instantly that these things were planted there in order to make this bridge collapse.
Hmm.
So I tell my friends... I tell everybody, you remember me telling you this, right?
Sure.
And then the next, how long ago was it after that?
Did I talk?
Yeah, was it a couple days?
Yeah.
Like a couple, It was like a couple days later, I get a phone call, and they're like, you're not going to believe this. What you said just happened. The bridge collapsed in, I forget, what state was it?
Oh, God.
I forget what... it wasn't Virginia. Does anybody know where the bridge collapsed
up
at?
Up in Minneapolis. Minneapolis-St. Paul, there was that bridge that collapsed.
Was this like last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was Minneapolis. That's
right. Mm-hmm. That's right. It was in Minneapolis. But see, I tried to focus in on the car tags, but I couldn't see it. But I thought, okay, wow, that was crazy. You know, I had this... vision thing. But then later on, as I'm looking at the news, I find out that they sent the Navy SEALs down there, and they made the local police and stuff get out. And that I found kind of odd. It's kind of like they wanted to clean up the evidence that maybe they were testing, a way to make things collapse. I don't know. But the weird thing is, and this is even strange, is all week long, and some of my listeners are going to go to my chat when the show is over, and we're going to discuss a little bit about this. I've been having these weird visions about the U.S. all week long.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, at around 6 o'clock, I saw a huge explosion, and it was in one of the cities. I watched a pickup truck just blow sky high.
Wow.
And I saw all this stuff. Now, I'm saying it on the air, so if you guys, you know, you hear me telling you now, so you'll know whether I'm BS or full of BS or not, but it's weird. It's been, you know, all week long. But the thing of the bridge was that I do believe it was done using vibrations. That's what I think. Now, I don't know what this vision is about, but that's what that was.
It's hard to say, that's for sure. But Tesla, again, could create a small earthquake. There's no doubt about that. That's been documented.
And so you wonder, on what scale have they taken that and just amplified it in some sort of way to where, you know, we could even cause greater earthquakes and other places, like possibly Haiti. I don't know.
Haiti.
But
Now,
on your pyramids, though, you want to build these in a smaller version, so individual, say, households could use them, or on a large scale where a whole city could use it?
No. We think that the technology is scalable. You can scale it down and just use enclosures like 55-gallon drums, or big plastic container type of things, and PVC valves, and other readily off-the-shelf components, and ultimately build this technology, scale down for farms, factories, but also individual homeowners, and that type of thing. And it'll help... get us off of our addiction to oil, because that pumped water would be used to make electricity.
Now, do you think the government is going to allow you to do something like this, or are they going to squash you?
What I think is that they won't help me. The government doesn't want that. The government wants what the government is for is to facilitate the rich people to get more money, if you will, those in power.
Yeah.
We tried to get government funding and have not been able to, and that's too bad.
Probably never will. And
you think with with all the Obama bucks, we should be able to get something.
Oh,
but,
please. Don't hold your breath, because ever since this fool has become president, everybody has their hand out for the bailout. Now, did you hear UPS? Come on. How many times bail these people out? This is ridiculous. He's just giving money to, they're basically, you know, people that, you know, he's greasing their palms. You know, I mean, how the heck did he even get the Nobel Peace Prize? 12 days of presidency.
It's unbelievable. On all these bailouts. I know this, though, about bailouts. If, let's say, you have $5 billion uh-huh. you will be bailed out. You will be bailed out.
Oh yeah.
But if you're broke and
you're not getting it,
you ain't getting nothing. But yeah, it would be nice to get some funding, and I'm more of a book author, but if there's someone out there that has some fundraising experience or grant writing experience, that they could contact our foundation through our website. We also have a phone number that they can call us direct.
Go ahead.
Let me give you that.
Go ahead. Fill it out right here that people will listen to the show. They'll keep coming back to it.
Great. It's area code 541-824-0032. And that's our phone number. They can call at 24 hours a day. And, but yeah, we need someone who is a very good or an animator for our documentary. We need
mm-hmm.
help, like I say, with fundraising and also grant writing, that type of thing.
You're talking about your documentary. It's going to be a 10-minute deal on YouTube, right?
Probably, yes, our documentary, yeah. We might even make two documentaries, you know, for different aspects. So if someone wants to volunteer, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
So I
know somebody who does videos who could do that real easy. You just tell them what you want, and they don't charge a lot at all.
Oh,
they
tremendous.
Don't.
Maybe they
and,
can contact
And I will pass your information on to her. And she's really good at it. Now, if you wanted to do more than 10 minutes, you know it has to be broken up into parts because they won't let you put anything on longer than 10 minutes.
Oh, certainly. That's not a problem.
But you could just do that. And I would definitely recommend you doing that because, it's, you know, just do your – have you ever done anything on YouTube before?
No, that's our next goal. Now that the book is out, we're going to start doing some YouTube videos to describe the process, the assembly process of the Great Pyramid, and also how it pumped water, that type of thing. So, and we think that'll help. It'll supplement the book, certainly, not replace it, of course. But we also need help with web design if somebody wants to help improve our website. And people can help us just by prayer. We believe in that and rely on it. And also they can link to our website. You know, if they have a website, put a link on it. Or if they have a blog, mention us.
A link on my website for you. I'll tell my web lady on tomorrow. Or actually,
great.
I think one of the moderators can actually stick it on. Somebody's been putting on links on there. I don't know who's doing it. I need to thank them, but I don't know who's adding them. They add the one to the radio show, and so I'll definitely have yours put on there for you, too. And I get caught thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hits every month. It's crazy.
Wonderful.
When my web lady did my website years ago, within the first week, she said, I have never, shut up, Rain, I know what you're thinking. She said, I have never put a website up that got so many hits like that ever.
Wonderful. What a blessing.
So I will definitely put a link up there for you. Because I think you're a nice man. That's why.
I appreciate that. I already have a link on our site to yours.
Oh, you do?
Oh, certainly. Yes.
Flattered. I love that. Okay, I will definitely get that link up there for you, and I'll tell my web lady about the YouTube video. Now, all the content you want in it, you would have to, you know, give her. I mean, even if you
certainly.
And send it, but she could definitely put it together for you. She's
wonderful.
Been doing it for years. If it wasn't for her going to prison. You know, I'm not saying she went to prison. She's never been to prison. That really came out wrong. What I'm saying is she is good on the computer. It's a good thing she does things legally because she could do some damage.
Well, I envy her ability. That's a wonderful thing.
Her ability is great. But she's actually still working on my website right now. I've changed it all over, and it's still being worked on. Hopefully we have more work done to it by the end of the month, but you know, it's slow going if you want it done right. But I did take a look at the website you have up, though, and your website is fine. You don't want to spend, you know, too much money on a website that's just giving, you know, information and stuff like that, because you're just going to waste the money. As far as the YouTube thing, I would definitely do that and, you know, watch your keywords, put it in a couple different categories, you know, do it like that, because YouTube will bring you a lot of people to your website.
Well, great.
That's,
well,
YouTube.
That's super.
Good idea. So anyway, I hope that your book does well, and it will, because it's for anybody who wants to go and buy this book, which I would buy the book. Come on, help the man out. He's trying to do a good thing here for you. It's not going to break you. You just go to the bottom of the page here, and I believe you can click right on and go right to Amazon and buy his book directly from there. And then I'm going to give the name of the website, too, over the radio, because the thing is, once chat shuts down, you know, I've typed it up on chat a bunch of times, but when they go back to listen to the show or other people listen to it, they're not going to know the website. So my guest is Stephen Myers. He wrote the book Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid, and the website is www.thepump.org. And he has a book out. It's brand new this month. And just click that Amazon button and buy the book. That's all you have to do. I can't believe somebody is calling through. And you know what? It's a telemarketer. It is 10:31 at night, and there is a telemarketer calling me. This is Yeah, well, I'm just going to ignore them. I mean, I don't know what they have to say to me at 10:31 at night. Some survey, probably. Anyway, it's... The whole thing is just interesting, and I don't know if anybody else knows what he's talking about when he's telling us about the trenches and the 4 feet of water, but I've seen this, and Quinny, who is listening, I'm sure you have too. If you've been out to Lambertville, you guys have seen things. The horses would pull tons and tons and tons of stuff, and I don't even know if it was 4 feet of water out there. It might have only been 3 feet of water. Where are you from anyway?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh,
Oregon,
we're out
right?
Here in Oregon, yeah.
Oh,
Southwestern,
that's right. You're
Oregon.
In Oregon. And somebody's
oh, beautiful.
Somebody's asking if you can get a signed copy of the book. If they can get a signed copy of the book from your site.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
They can. So it's on there, and you would get that direct from our foundation. And there's been some interest in that. We're having a virtual book signing for some fundraising, and I've donated a number of books to the foundation, and then they buy them directly from the foundation and get a book that way. So it's a lot cheaper than coming out here and getting a signed copy, certainly.
Yeah.
and it helps the foundation one way to raise a little bit of money. So I appreciate that interest. It's been a lot of fun with the book out and the interest of being on some wonderful shows like yours. So, you know, that's it's a wonderful thing.
Well, you're doing a good job there. Thank you, Sonny. Thank you. She's saying that I'm so very nice, but not all the time. I had one lady on the show that wrote a book. She bored me to death. People know that. But you didn't bore me. It's interesting. I mean, even if not everyone agrees with what you think, it doesn't matter, because it is still a different idea. And every idea should definitely be looked at. And if this is something you're putting together and it's something that's going to help people or help the environment, it's good. It's good. It's just a shame that there's no bailout money for you, you know, for someone who could actually do something good. You know what I mean?
We will prevail. And like I say, this is my life quest, and we are we're doing something that a lot of people say is very interesting, but even they describe it as compelling. So again, the book is well illustrated with a number of illustrations on not just how the Great Pyramid was assembled, but the implications of that in terms of our understanding of ancient mankind and our vision for the future.
I have one more question for you.
Sure.
When you were talking about how you can measure the pyramid and it shows prophecy, does it tell you on there when the end times are?
Yes.
Or what year does it give?
1925.
But we're still here.
Yes.
So they were wrong then?
Yes.
Obviously, but...
that understanding of the Great Pyramid is kind of fallen by the wayside, and it's not accepted as much as it used to be in the 19th century. Okay.
But why are people still into it then, you know?
Well, there's still the Flat Earth Society. There's still people that think the Great Pyramid was built with a big ramp. You know,
yeah,
and
I never
people
believe
that think,
it was
yeah.
a ramp.
There's
the
people
way.
that believe that the Great Pyramid is prophecy in stone. So,
but we would have been dead in 1925.
Yeah, that's the if you keep measuring the passages, that's what you get to.
Huh.
So
now, what do you think about 2012? Do you think it's all hype, or do you think we're going somewhere?
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at it. Okay.
Who swears up and down that I think it's May 19th, 2011, we're all being taken up, and then in October, I forget what he says then, but anyway. Now, what do you think about this 2012 thing, though?
Well, a lot of people understand or have the feeling that we're in a new time, a new age, that the old ways are going to pass away, and then we're going to enter a new season, if you will.
Uh-huh.
You know, we just recently had a new century, you know, and a new millennium, if you will, just a few years ago. And
everybody, that was the end. I remember that. 2012,
right.
Water and food.
Right. But people understand that we're in perilous times with a number of things. You know, if we have our super inflation, or if we go to war in the Middle East, more
uh-huh.
so than we are, the wars we're having now are just wars of conquest for oil. And if Yellowstone volcano erupts or whatever. But people know that it's a troubling times, everyone's uneasy that I talk to, not
yeah.
regular people, not just researchers. So I think that there's something to it, certainly. But what we're about is if we can develop a technology that if the sheiks over in the Middle East don't want to sell us oil, then we can still survive with this
other means.
Sophisticated technology. So that's what we're trying to do. And we think that it will give us an alternative that ultimately, if our civilization allows us to redevelop this ancient technology, that we can have a freer and a safer world, in a cleaner world. So that's what I think about 2012.
Mm.
It's a precipice that we can either fall off of, or that we can start a new beginning. And it's interesting about the pyramids. I don't know if you watched that. There was a movie just not too long ago. The name escapes me. Transformers. Transformers 2.
I heard a lot of people good.
Yeah. At the end of the movie, though, the one of the pyramids supposedly had a death machine in it, or a death ray inside of it, that was put there, you know, in very ancient times by aliens or whatever. But there's kind of a feeling among people that the pyramids weren't just tombs, but some sort of an active machine or a device. And we think, based on our research and everything, that it was a water pump, and that water pump can help us in our troubled times.
Oh, you brought up aliens. You know, Some people believe that the aliens built the pyramids. What do you, I mean, or had a lot to do. Well, yeah, they do believe that. What do you think of that?
You mean like illegal Mexicans?
No, not the illegal Mexicans.
Sorry about that. There is certainly is a whole host of people that believe that they're some sort of alien intervention, that the aliens used the Great Pyramid or built the Great Pyramid for some high-tech purpose. But what we're about is not if the aliens built it, but how it was built.
Yeah.
Not by who. And that how it was built and why it was built will help us in these troubled times. I don't
why do
know
you think
a lot of people
covering up the aliens though.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think
aliens?
If I
because
may.
I'll be honest with you, tomorrow morning I leave. So you oh, I forgot to tell you this, Rain. I'm not gonna be here. I leave in the morning. I'm going to the Denver airport. But that's because we're going to be sneaking around to see if they really do have an underground. Now, do you think the government does have connections with the aliens? You believe in aliens? Other than my ex, who I think is an alien.
Besides your ex?
Yeah, he's definitely an alien. He's from planet God knows what.
I think there were aliens on the moon.
You know what? Where at?
Neil Armstrong? He was an alien to the moon.
Well, yeah, he was an alien to the moon.
Okay, well, anyway, the reason why a lot of people say that the Great Pyramid was built by aliens is because the Great Pyramid shows some extremely high technology, some very extreme precision that can't be done by just savages or peasants.
Yeah, and what about where it does show what looks like a UFO coming
yes.
down on, you know, just trying mm-hmm. to come down and land. Have you seen those?
There are a number of unusual hieroglyphs, some look like a helicopter or an airplane or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So ancient man had, we think, some very high technology, including water locks, which are very high, but also they used the Baghdad battery to make electricity to electroplate some artifacts that have been electroplated. And so there's a lot of examples that hint to some high technology. But that includes the Great Pyramid with some of its very unusual features. And again, we think that high technology was to pump water.
Now, do you personally believe in aliens, that other life exists on other planets in the form, you know, where they have intelligence?
This is what I know. I know that it's hard to say. I don't know about that. That's, again, beyond the scope of my research about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any or haven't been probed or anything. So
thank God
you haven't.
Pretty
good that way.
I've had Riley Martin on my show. Do you know who he is?
Yes.
Yes, he's a guy on Howard Stern all the time.
Yes.
Well, he now has, like, a bigger show on Howard Stern. I just heard he's every Friday night or something for 4 hours. I think I heard that right. But some of these aliens do probe you. They do.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody emailed me just this week and tell me that they've been being probed every single night, and they went to this person that does clearing. And no, it is not the person on my website. I want to make that clear. It was somebody else. And this person told them the reason they were being probed is because they were an alien. I about fell out of my chair. And I said to myself, you paid to hear that? And then come to find out, there was like 7 other people. They were all told the same thing. They were all being probed by aliens.
Wow.
The crazy world we live in.
You know, there's a lot of mysteries out there. I can say that. And,
yes.
There's a lot of things that we don't know yet.
What do you think of the Philadelphia experiment with that thing, that ship disappearing?
That was very interesting. I've read about it, certainly, you know, both pros and cons. Some people say that, oh, that's a hoax and all made up and everything, but other people say, no, that it disappeared, but then when it reappeared, the people were, like, stuck in the bulkheads and everything, and it's something to think about.
That's actually true, because I know a man that worked there before they destroyed the ship. It's like they scrapped it now. But and he was as sane as the day is long. I mean, he really was. He didn't believe in anything crazy. He just, you know, but he said that it is true that there were people that were kind of, they were melted into those bulkheads. That it is. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I believe it.
Pretty weird. Well, I'll tell you, there's some unusual things out there. You know, there was a time when everybody would cut the mold off a cheese and throw it away.
Uh-huh.
But then one guy said, I think that mold will make sick people well. And he figured out penicillin.
Yeah.
That was Alexander Fleming. So, you know, it's a lot of things like that. Nikola Tesla developed alternating current. When he had the idea, he went to a college professor. The college professor says, make electricity go back and forth in the same wire? Oh, no, that'll never work.
Hmm.
So he spent 7 years trying to convince people that alternating current would work, and ultimately no one in Europe would fund his experiments. And then he went to the United States, and ultimately, his research was funded, and now we have alternating current, a marvel that was what essentially brought us into the industrial age. Direct current wouldn't work.
Let me ask.
Technologies that are being developed.
What do you think about electricity coming from the human brain to be able to power things, kind of like telekinetic ability? We do have a lot of electricity. What do you think of that?
Well, we're definitely electrically operated, that's for sure, on a molecular and on a cell level. But you mean like moving things?
Yeah, I mean, through using your own electric current, you know, do you think it's possible to tap into?
It sounds like a good, it's a great idea. I would sure like to see a demonstration.
Yeah, you can put a plug in someone's mouth.
But, you know, that's it. If you waited for a demonstration for a mental electricity to move big stones, you'd probably wait a long time. But it's been demonstrated using water locks that heavy payloads can be moved. So, so that's why we're kind of stuck on that in our research. You know, it's like a real world application that fits the direct physical evidence of the Great Pyramid.
How much water would it take in one of these pyramids to say? Okay, how big of a pyramid and how much water would it take to, say, power a small town with electricity?
That's very vague, but there's hydroelectric plants, both large and small, all over the United States and the world. So you'd need a pump to provide enough water to power the generators. But if you can decentralize the power, in other words, right now, if you want power, you can have all the power you want, no matter how much you have to pay for it. But if you were able to create your own energy, then especially cheaply, then that would be a burst of to the economy that we probably have never seen before. I read a book that said
building them.
Yes. Well, if your cost of energy is quadrupled, then your standard of living is cut in half.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
So if you can reduce the cost of energy, then people's standard of living will raise. We think that the Great Pyramid was a prosperity machine for those people who built it, and that it can usher in an era of prosperity in modern times if we're allowed to redevelop this ancient technology.
Well, it's just interesting. The whole thing is interesting, and I do hope that you get funding. And for those of you that have just come into chat, please visit Stephen Meyer's website. It's www.thepump.org, and there's plenty of information on there. And also, pick up the book. All you have to do is click the button. It's right here on the show. It'll take you directly to Amazon.com, and you can purchase the book, Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. Very interesting. I mean, I think the show was very interesting. I definitely enjoyed it. Sometimes I don't.
I appreciate that.
Sometimes I don't, but I did like the show because I like to hear different, you know, ideas and stuff like that. And everybody should be open to listening to them, and definitely get the book, because if we could do something to help the environment and stop giving money to these sheiks, we need to stop it. I'm telling you, they really made me mad. In Florida, they used to shut down the malls so that they could just come in there and shop. What the heck is that? And you want to know why? It's because they thought the people in America were substandard, and they didn't want to be around us while they shopped. And the malls bowed to them and let them in. And it just makes me mad. Oh, well, thank you, Q. She just said that I had a good guest tonight and that you were well-versed in your research and data. That's what she
said
about.
Well, I appreciate that.
And he appreciates I'm sure you can hear him saying. Yes, you're a very nice person. I'm glad that I had you on. So, you guys, if somebody wants to put his website up there on chat again, and definitely go and visit his website. And I'm going to pass your information on to the lady that can do these YouTubes for you.
Oh, great.
She can get them done probably pretty quick, and they'd look really good. She's good at it. So hopefully that'll help you out. And I'm glad to have you on, and it was a great show. I certainly enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. It was a wonderful opportunity for me, and I really appreciate it.
And I will go back, if I don't have your website on the information for the show, I will go back and add that on for you, because I'm looking here, and I don't see it, and I thought that it was on there, but I will make sure it gets there for you come tomorrow, okay?
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and you have a great night, and good luck with all your endeavors, which, you know, I'll definitely pray for you, because I don't think you're going to get any government money.
Well, I really appreciate it again, and thank you, and maybe we can do this again sometime.
Oh, sure, definitely, and I'll make sure I add a link to my website for you, too.
Well, thanks again.
You have a good night now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, I'm leaving the show. I'm going to my own chat. And if you want to join in, that's www.hauntedcuriosities.com. And don't forget to check out Stephen Meyer's website at www.thepump.org. See you guys there. Bye-bye now.